amazing Kate Casey. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Can you believe The Bachelor this week? So it was basically the end of the season when he proposes to one girl and then they have the after the rose ceremony. And of course, we all learned that he proposed to one girl, broke up with her on television 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks after the show. Cameras followed him as he broke up with her and then he chose the backup. I think that he chose the backup after he got home and Googled her and found out that she doesn't in fact have zero personality and is a mute. She is a former model who took risque photos. So I'm thinking that's how he changed his opinion about who he wanted to be married to. So of course, then they got engaged on the After the Rose. I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago, I posted a picture of a photo of a table with heating lamps at the Monarch Beach Resort tipped off to me. I think they actually got engaged there and then they pretended to do it on television. So my sister, who you know, is not somebody who watches television and is brutally honest. I made her watch about 25 minutes of the season finale of The Bachelor. And then she ended up watching their interview that Ari did on Good Morning America with Michael Strahan. So I asked her to give me her thoughts on The Bachelor. So please enjoy that. This week's an awesome episode because I got to catch up with Kelly Wolf, who was on Real World New Orleans. And on Road Rules. She actually won Road Rules. And she's been off television for so long, and she's now a therapist and a life coach. So she's got a great perspective on, you know, what these reality TV contestants are like, how they're chosen for shows, you know, what the impact of fame is. She's married now to Scott Wolf, the actor, and they have 3 kids and live in Park City, Utah. And it just reminded me that I never told her that I named my dog Bailey after his character on Party of Five. But they're adorable, so happy, have the cutest kids. And she's such a great person and so likable. And I know you're going to want her to be your friend, as I have pretty much begged her to be mine. I also asked Troy Turner from Taste of Reality to review a show on the Discovery Channel called Gold Rush, which is so boring, but he's funny when he reviews it. And then I got the first ever interview with Logan from Vanderpump Rules. And he talks about his relationship with James. And then he gives me his insight on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this season. Especially since he's actually one of the set directors for Erica Jane's music videos. So you're going to enjoy that. So sit back, relax, and here we go. Are you on a mission to achieve total health and fitness goals? Well, I've got great news. Beachbody On Demand is an online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a wide variety of highly effective world-class workouts personalized to meet your needs. So if you like P90X, Insanity, 3-week yoga retreat, any of those workouts, you can find them and a lot more at Beachbody On Demand. My personal favorite, it's called A Little Obsessed. It's 5 30-minute workouts. So easy. And Beachbody On Demand also includes extensive nutritional content. I mean, what else do you need? It's accessible on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, really any other web-enabled device. You don't need to go to the gym at the crack of dawn or schedule a class really late at night. Traveling, you can do it in your hotel room. And they've got workouts that are as short as 10 minutes to over an hour. It's going to save you so much money, time, and aggravation. And it's just a plethora of all the greatest workouts and a ton of comprehensive nutritional information and plans. So to give this service a try, right now my listeners can get a free trial membership when you text Reality Life, all one word, no space, to 303030. You will get full access to this entire platform for free and all the workouts and nutritional information as well for free. Just text Reality Life to 303030. You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. Megan, you are my older sister and you tell it like it is. I had you watch maybe 20, 30 minutes of The Bachelor finale, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was 20 minutes that I will never get back in my lifetime.
Okay.
Number one, did you find the guy attractive?
I could see how people initially think he's attractive. He's tall, he's thin, he's got salt and pepper hair. But once he starts speaking and his mannerisms, he's a little feminine.
Okay, so he...
Which I don't find attractive.
Barely graduated from high school, worked at a pizza shop. His dad was a professional race car driver, so he got into race car driving. His career didn't really take off, and now he sells real estate in Scottsdale, Arizona. Is this somebody that you think should be on a show?
I mean, absolutely not. I mean, I guess after this, this is it for him.
What do you think of the girls that were on the show?
I'm like, girls, can't you two find dates outside of the Bachelor show? I mean, come on. They were nice, but cheesy. I think the blonde was really cheesy. I'm like, you might want to tone down those eyelashes a little bit. But anyway, yeah, I thought they were both pretty cheesy. However, I think if I had to choose myself, I'd pick the Becca, the brunette, over the blonde.
Yeah. Well, the Becca or the blonde never spoke throughout the whole season. She just kept quiet.
Well, if I were her, I'd probably keep quiet too if I was trying to be chosen.
What do you think about Neil Lane giving them an engagement ring for free at the end of the show?
I'm like, oh my gosh, what marketing madness there. I'm like, you had to get Neil Lane when he popped out. I mean, that guy has had more plastic surgery than, you know, most of Hollywood. I'm like, really? Does anyone actually buy his rings? Of course he's going on to The Bachelor and giving a free ring away. By the way, did anyone check the quality of the ring? We should probably do a little research on that one.
One of the things you wrote to me before you went to bed, because you were like, I can't watch this shit show anymore, was that Becca made a scrapbook for him. Do you think that she actually made it?
Oh my God, that was beyond embarrassing. You know what I thought of? I thought of my old au pair who used to do scrapbooking. I'm like, does anyone actually do this? I mean, oh my God, if some guy gave me a scrapbook with cutout pictures that have been like, whatever, you know, that, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. Anybody listening out there, if any girl gives you a scrapbook, cut it off.
I thought he proposed to her because he felt bad she spent all that money at Michael's.
Probably. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so you go to bed. You wake up the next day because it was a nor'easter, so you're forced to watch Good Morning America.
I did. So I'm watching Good Morning, and I never turn on the morning shows just because I don't have time. But I'm like, all right, the kids, we're going to have a delay. I couldn't go into work in New York City that day because the ferries weren't running well. So anyway, I just wanted to get an update on the tri-state area. So then like, oh, Ari's here and he's, you know, the update of, you know, his decisions. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I can't get away from this guy. So of course I get sucked in because I'm like, I have to watch it. I'm like, are you kidding me? I watched the breakup on live television. And who's the guy who, the MC for the show?
Chris Harrison.
10 times. You're never going to believe this has never happened on national television before. I'm like, you blew it up a little too much. But yes, it was a pretty bad breakup. Anyway, but so I'm watching it in the morning and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He is now engaged to the blonde. I'm like, okay, a little bit of a red flag there. That's the other thing. I'm like, how long has he been dating these girls? The show's 6 weeks long, and he falls in love with two women in 6 weeks. Two women, and can't make a decision. What do you really know about someone after 6 weeks of dating? And you're dating other people at the same time. I mean, listen, I do not want to get engaged to any guy who wants to get engaged to me after 6 weeks of dating.
Especially with Neil Lane ring, nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you may want to send out some type of survey or game to your podcast listeners to see how long first of all, does he really get married to the blonde? And I think you should have over and unders on how long they stay married.
I don't think they're going to get married. They'll be break up before they even get married. No way. It'll last like 5 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Like the tomorrow or, you know, next week, People Magazine will be like, they're over. And then we'll never see or hear from them ever again.
Yeah. Do you think that he's going to try to pursue a career in entertainment after this?
No. I mean, no one's going to hire him. He may, but no one's going to hire him.
So he should go back and sell real estate in Scottsdale.
Absolutely. He's had his claim to fame. Like, this is it for him.
Would you buy a condo from him if he were selling real estate in Wilson?
No, he can't. He's a bad decision maker. He's a bad decision maker.
Okay, good.
No, I don't trust him, and I don't trust he'd make a good decision in the real estate deal. So no, I would not. No. Nope.
All right. Well, listen, thanks. And I'll be sending you a scrapbook of our favorite childhood memories.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, I want to tell you about Care Of. You know, even when you're trying to maintain a healthy diet, it can be really hard to get all the nutrients your body needs for long-term health. Did you know that 90% of people fall short of FDA-recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient? The great thing about Care Of is that they've got this fun online quiz, which makes it really easy to figure out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. They ask you about your diet, health goals, lifestyle choices, and they use these answers to create a personalized vitamin pack just for you. So you get a subscription box, which includes individually wrapped packets with your specific vitamins and supplements for easy grab and go. You'll receive a 30-day supply shipped right to your door. See, there's no more worrying about replacing multiple bottles when you run out or you're missing a few days until you can make it to the store. And you can modify your subscription at any time. You're going to love it. I really love it as well. So for 25% off your first month of personalized care of vitamins, takecareof.com. Please go there. takecareof.com and enter promo code REALITY. Again, takecareof.com and enter promo code REALITY. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC.
So Kelly Limp was on The Real World New Orleans, and I'll never forget that season because she and I are in the same age group. So of course I never forgot that. I love watching that season because if you remember, that was was right before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And Danny, who was on the show with her, was out, and his boyfriend at the time was in the military. So I always say that The Real World is such an interesting show because it is a coming of age story, but it has been really instrumental in helping bring light to disenfranchised groups and to really highlight social justice issues. So first, mm-hmm. I want to say welcome, Kelly, to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I have tracked you down. You live in Park City, Utah now. You are married with 3 children and do not work in the entertainment industry. So first, tell me how you were cast for the show.
So the way I was cast was so random, of course. It's the story of my life. I was back in those days, back in the 90s, we were going to a friend's surprise party. So a friend of ours had a video camera with them. And they jokingly, all like a group of us, like 4 or 5 of us, jokingly made Real World videos. It was meant to be a joke. And my friend sent my video in. And I remember being at home. And I get this phone call and I pick it up. And this guy says, hi, my name's Rob from MTV. And I was like, okay, Brian. I thought it was my friend just, you know, messing around. And so I'm like, whatever. And I think it's just him being funny. And the guy's like, sorry, is this Kelly? We start having this conversation. I come to realize, oh, this is actually happening. And it's about a 6-month process of them calling, interviewing, asking questions. I don't know if it's still the same. But back then you'd have to set your video camera up and put your phone on speakerphone, and then you'd send the tape to them from that conversation so they could watch you on camera. And then I think there were probably like maybe three times where they flew you to, I think, LA or maybe it was New York to do an in-person interview. And then it kind of got closer and closer. And then I was at my job. I was waiting tables. I lived in Fayetteville, Arkansas at the time. And I had actually just moved back from England. I lived in England before that. And they called me at work and my manager said, some guy from MTV is on the line. So I came over and he said, we want you to be on Real World. And the funny thing about that was I wanted to be on Road Rules. I did not want to be on Real World at all. I made that abundantly clear throughout the casting process. And at the time they would say, you can't decide, so you can either, you know, continue this process or get out of the process, but we will decide at the end who goes on which show, if at all. Wow. That was interesting.
So then you pack up, you go to the house. Do you think to yourself immediately, I made a mistake, or did you jump headfirst in?
I think at the time, And gosh, I'm going to sound like so incredibly naive. I did not really know a ton about Real World, Road Rules. One, I had been in college. I was traveling around Europe. I just didn't pay that much attention. I kind of knew it as like, I definitely knew the first one. I think we all did with like Eric and all those people. And then I sort of fell off the map for a while. And because it was this funny, jokey thing that we were doing, I hadn't really wrapped my head around it. And I know that sounds strange, which is so typical of my life. I'm like the person who like wanders into the woods and there's some amazing thing happens when I'm in there. So I think I decided in the moment, I'm going to do this because I really love adventure and I do more than anything. I mean, that's why I wanted to be on Road Rules, because I had this, I love to travel and I love to do new things. And if you said, hey, let's wake up and go jump out of an airplane and then pack into the woods and, you know, live off the land for a month, I'd be like, yay, that would just make me so happy. So the idea of adventure was what pulled me in. And I think I didn't completely understand what I was pulling myself into in the first place. So I was a little bit perplexed to begin with, where I felt like other people were much more savvy about the process. Mm-hmm. They had probably examined the process more, understood how it worked and what it was. And I was just more kind of blindly doing my life.
Right. And now in that, so as I mentioned, Danny was good friends with you and I believe you're still in touch with him, correct? You're still.
Oh yeah. He's still one of my very best friends. Yes. I love him. He's my brother.
As you were going through this experiment and he has this boyfriend, did you think at the time, we are going to be part of a shift in cultural perspective? Or was that just way above your head?
I don't think any of us really understood the gravity of how that would feel on the receiving end for viewers and the world. For Danny, post production, you know, he was really thrown into a whirlwind and became, I think, the poster child in a lot of ways for this policy and coming out in general. I mean, I've had, and I won't name names, but I've had people who I think are fairly well known in the world who have come to me and said, he is the reason that I felt brave enough to come out.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know that he even understood sort of the magnitude of what that meant, what it was for everybody else. No, and certainly in the moment, you know, when Paul, his boyfriend's coming and all this stuff, he's there, he's in human form. So when you saw it on the show, he's like face is fuzzed out and he's hiding behind trees, you know, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. So you don't really, you're not taking it in that way and how they choose to tell the story on the other side.
Wow. And then I remember you had a boyfriend at the time. And I remember somebody in like a couple weeks ago had said to me, as if it was a celebrity sighting, do you know who I met at a party? It was Peter, Kelly's boyfriend on Real World New Orleans, which is so funny. But so
recently?
Yes, recently. I was like, oh my God, it's like 20 years later. People are like, oh my God, Peter. So I'm just trying to imagine myself at that age and the person that I dated at the time, having cameras follow you. How was that? Because that is opening yourself to the world in this really special, almost like these private moments. As it was going on, did you have any trepidation? And looking back, do you wish that you had kept that more private?
I mean, I would say back then, the most common comment was that I was very much not there in a lot of ways. And it's true. I mean, if you watch the show, I'm kind of like walking by the background, or I tried really hard to get out of it a lot of the time, to the production's great dismay. They were constantly frustrated with me. And I think now that I'm older and I can reflect on it, I think what happened is in the casting, of course, I'm who I am. I'm an open book and I am a person who really likes to get the juice out of life in all kinds of different ways. But when I'm in the moment of doing something, I didn't want him to get exposed in some way that could be hurtful. I mean, he's a doctor at the time. And I am just a really protective person. So for me, it was more about, I was kind of, I think, trying to protect him. And by not wanting the production to follow us to do every little thing and see every little thing. So I know it frustrated them. And if you actually watch it, you can see that there's all these shots where the camera's really far away from us. So they would sneak up on us. They had these tracking systems in our microphones. And there was this rule that you never take your microphone off unless somebody takes it off for you and you have to ask and all this stuff. Of course, once we all got a little wiser, we went, okay, screw that. And we would just take it off and, you know, run out the door and try to get away to go do something that we didn't want filmed. But they would find you and then they'd film from far away. And obviously we have a microphone on so they can have the audio. But I think when I look back on it, there were a lot of things that I remember thinking that I don't want my parents to feel ashamed or embarrassed or exposed in any way. I don't want the people that I care about. So I think a lot of the way that I did things was coming from that perspective of trying to be protective of their anonymity and less of my own.
And then once you get off the show, you have this sudden fame. What was that impact? Mm-hmm. What was the impact of sudden fame for you personally?
Gosh, that was terrifying. beyond belief. And it's something that I find fascinating. And because it's become, you know, reality television has become so much a part of our culture now, I am really interested in how that changes the brain and what happens to people on the outside of that. But I remember specifically one time where I ended up staying in New Orleans because I stayed with Peter. And I stayed in New Orleans for almost 3 years. So once we finished filming, I continued to live in this town, except that you don't really get paid. So I didn't have any money. There's no source for income at that point. So I just went back to waiting tables, which is what I had done before. And I'd been going to college and I would be waiting tables and people would want to take my picture. And I remember standing there and have like ketchup on my shirt, you know, and asking them if I could remove their plates. And they want to take their picture with me. And it felt humiliating, I think, on one level. But the other piece that I remember so vividly is I was out on Bourbon Street one night. I was with a couple friends, and all of these guys, these like, you know, frat boy college guys in their 20s, see me, and like 20 of them come running at me full speed screaming, "It's Kelly, it's Kelly, it's Kelly, it's Kelly." And they come and they surround me. And I thought, in any other situation in life, that would be a fight or flight situation. Mm-hmm. Any other situation, your body would go either start punching these people or get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And, but when you're in that situation, you're supposed to bypass your brain's natural, you know, response to try to get out or do something about it. And you're supposed to just accept it and deal with it. But then if that happened to any other person who had that level of fame at that moment in time, they probably have security. They probably have money. You know, they probably have ways to kind of, I guess, protect themselves from having that experience. And so that for me was, and probably because I was in New Orleans. So you kind of make this melting pot of, it's the town it was filmed in. It's the biggest party town in our country. Mm-hmm. And we're all in our 20s. So it was just this perfect storm for whenever I went out, it would be just such an intense, and I'm like not a huge person. So, you know, having a bunch of big dudes surrounding you is yeah. kind of, it's pretty terrifying. So that for me was definitely a challenge. That was a hard, you know, couple of years just trying to navigate how to live my life in this sort of new normal. Mm-hmm. And I didn't jump immediately into entertainment, but it didn't take me long to realize like, oh, you've got to find ways to maximize the growth potential here, to kind of use that growth potential financially to barrier yourself from all this chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was quick to kind of start navigating that in another direction.
Now, how long after the Real World stopped filming did you join Road Rules?
I think it was about a year and a half. Maybe that sounds about right. I was definitely still in New Orleans for sure. And then they called, and Danny and I at the time had made an agreement that we would not do it unless we could do it as a team.
Oh.
And we also decided, this is so typical of us. We went, okay, we're like, we don't want to do this. We don't want to actually be on the show, but they had agreed it doesn't matter how long you stay. If you stayed for one day or the entire time, you would get $4,000. That was the deal, right?
Okay.
And in our minds, Danny and I went, here's what we're going to do. We're going to agree to do it. We're going to go to Cabo. Obviously, MTV is paying for all of this. We're going to get our $4,000, and then we're going to tell everybody to just vote us off first. That's what we're going to do. We had this whole game plan, and that we would stay in Cabo together and have a vacation and blah, blah, blah. And we get down to Cabo, and of course, in true universe beauty, divine fashion, we get down there, and I think on day two, the biggest hurricane to ever hit Mexico at that point wipes out every road, every bridge, every way to get in and out of the place that we were in Cabo.
Wow.
And there's no electricity. They are portioning our food out. So anybody that had a guitar or had some funny human tricks or whatever, we would sit in these rooms all day and night and eat our little tiny beans that they gave us and like two chips and maybe if we were lucky a margarita. And we just got so close. This whole group of people, we bonded in a way that will forever mark me as a human being. It was remarkable. It was so beautiful and so amazing. And I think it's easy for all of us to put reality people, especially in these containers, because it is, it's a little bit of this Goomba, like, ooh, you know, I'm going to work out and beat you and blah, blah, blah. And we get there and all of a sudden all that goes away. And when they got production back up, all these guys that had made it their job to work out, they were starving and had not had a protein shake in 2 or 3 weeks. So it put me in this incredible advantage position. So where Danny and I come in, they called us Team Skinny. That was their name for us. It's like, we're not going to beat anybody. We're not going to even beat anybody like catching flies. I mean, that's how they sort of perceived us. And our first thing back was this rope climbing thing where you climb like 150 feet up in the air. And now that we've all gotten so bonded and connected, Danny and I didn't want to go home. We completely switched our thinking around it. And now we thought, my God, we don't want to go home. And behind the scenes, I won't give you the whole story because it's too long, but we agreed, all of us, and Sean Duffy was a lawyer at the time, and he actually wrote a legal agreement that would be binding, how we would all do the money. So we all agreed that it didn't matter. It wasn't going to be about personalities. We were only going to vote off the person with the lowest score across the board. That was the agreement. We're not going to break that chain, right? Mm. And the production wanted to murder us. Let me just say that. But the first day back, it's climbing this rope. And at the time, I mean, I probably weighed 110 pounds or something. Nobody, no other person could climb this rope. I climbed the whole thing to the top. That one thing put Danny and I essentially at the top of the leaderboard. And we ended up winning the whole show with this other group. So that moment changed my life forever, ever and ever and ever. That one moment is what was the biggest piece that's ever changed my life. Absolutely.
So again, when the storm happened, it shut down the production for how long? 3 weeks?
It was like 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, because they couldn't, there were no bridges. I mean, there was no way to get things in and out. And where we were at that moment was not a high priority for them in terms of getting back electricity, and they could care less. I mean, that the real world was filming there, you know, people needed water and electricity and to be able to get around. So when they finally did get to it, it was like, yeah, I want to say it was at least 2, maybe 2.5 weeks, something like that.
Jeez. All right, so then let's skip forward. Amazing. So then you meet, years go by, you get introduced to Scott Wolf, who many of us remember from many television shows, but for our age group, Party of Five. And then you lived in LA for a little while, didn't you?
Yeah. So after the challenge, our teams won, and just sidebar, we all honored our commitment and paid out all the teams below us. That was per that legal thing that Sean wrote up. So we had this incredible plan, basically. But I took that money and I left New Orleans and I moved to New York. And when I moved to New York, you know, I'd gone to school for broadcast journalism, which was ultimately what I wanted to do. So I took that money, moved to New York, and committed to beginning my career. And so once I was in New York, I was kind of traveling to LA and New York back and forth for different things. I got agents, managers, all that stuff. And so they were based in Los Angeles. So I was kind of in both places.
And then you met your husband, and then you guys have 3 children together. Correct?
Yes.
So cute.
3 amazing children. Yeah.
It's the best. It's the best. And tell me how you ended up in Utah.
When Scott, my husband, was shooting right after we got married, he got offered to do a year on this show called Everwood, which, you know, Chris Pratt was on that show, and Emily Van Camp, and we used to have these amazing like dinners and nights together. It's so funny watching how much they've all done, and they're just amazing people. But we decided to come out here, and we came out to Utah, and I've driven through Utah, but I hadn't been here and spent time. And we just fell in love with it. We fell completely in love with it and decided to buy a house and kind of make it our home base. And then since that point, Scott's done a show that shot in Vancouver and Albuquerque and back to LA. So we've kind of been all over the place, but kept our home in Utah so we could come back here when we wanted.
So the kids are in schools in Utah then?
Oh yeah. We were actually 2 years ago, Scott was doing a show that filmed in LA. And when that show finished, we moved back to Utah because he was working in Albuquerque at that point. And we decided not to take the whole, he just did a show on NBC called Night Shift. They just finished that last year. And he was shooting in Albuquerque, and we thought, why not be in Utah? Because the flight's about the same. Mm-hmm. And so we came back to Utah from Los Angeles and enrolled our kids in school here. And every Thursday, the public school system, they go skiing. So they're all incredible, amazing. I know. Isn't that, it's like part of the school. You don't get the choice not to do it. I mean, unless you had some reason that you couldn't do it, but
wow,
it's pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no wonder they have all those Olympians, right? Jeez.
Yeah, right? I mean, they're kind of trained from birth around here. I don't it's weird if you're not an Olympian.
But the most interesting thing is you tell me about your career now, because you've gone totally, you know, changed direction totally.
Yeah, so I'm a life coach, personal development coach. I do speaking, team building, all kinds of different coaching, mostly one-on-one coaching. But what I recognize, and this is something, it's a little coaching trick, is when I was doing broadcast journalism, if I looked at what I loved about it, I loved hearing and telling somebody's story. That's what I wanted to do. That was the sort of juice of it. Even being on The Real World is about storytelling. So I sort of, as I examined it further, I went, oh, that's what my passion really is. So I went back to school, got my degree in psychology. Then I got my certification in life coaching, which is like a year program. And I've been coaching now for almost 5 years. And I love it. It is my greatest passion. And I think that's important for people to remember too, is if you look at the core of what lights you up, then you'll be navigated towards your destiny and your truth.
What do you think?
Always.
What do you think is the most valuable lesson you learned from being on reality television that helps you be so successful in your career now?
I would say the most valuable lesson I could learn from being on the show, or anything for that matter, is to never judge anybody. You know, I'm very careful about judgment. I'm also very careful about recognizing when we have judgment and where it comes from. I think it's easy to compartmentalize people. And I think obviously when you're casting shows like that, they're looking for certain things to be interesting to the world. But what they're really doing is riding on the backs of people's trauma and pain. And that's something that I noticed early on, because I don't think that people will present themselves in a way that's so compromised if there isn't something painful in their past, or some need to be recognized or seen. Mm-hmm. So, if you know, obviously you're going into it as a person with your eyes wide open and all of that, but these kids are pretty young, I think, when they start. I wish that there was more caretaking of that piece of the human process, mm-hmm. and less about, you know, just taking the part of them that's willing to show the dirt and the ugly and all of those things. So, yeah, no judgment, really, really not being judgmental. And something they don't show on these shows is we're all talking and connecting behind the scenes. And there's a reason that they choose those people to be on these shows, right? I think what it's become is the choice is more made out of who will do X, Y, and Z and mm-hmm. not hold back, you know, which to me is even worse, I guess, because before there was some kind of social experiment that was entrenched into the tapestry of how they would present these things.
That is really quite interesting. And surprisingly, no one has put it that way. And I think that makes total sense. And if that's true, how do you think the character of a cast member of a real housewife who's maybe 45 years old with grown children differs, mm-hmm. the brain differs from the coming of age post-college person on a Real World? So how can somebody who's 45 circumnavigate this social, not necessarily a social experiment, but this experience, life experience, and come out with their head on straight?
Yeah.
Can they?
Gosh. I don't know. Because again, you know, I come from sort of a therapeutic psychological perspective. And I think there is a lot of trauma in a person's life when you will agree to do things in a certain way. And I think some of those shows, there are agreements, right? I mean, they say, this is a storyline we're following, or this is a storyline we're following. And they kind of create an environment so that people will live up to that expectation. And I don't know if you know what the Pygmalion theory is. It's really fascinating, because when a person in power has an expectation of somebody, the Pygmalion theory says that we will rise to that expectation regardless of what it is. So it can be used for good or for evil, really. And from that viewpoint, I think a lot of the people that are coming into it, I think there are definitely people who are touchstone characters, and they'll tell you this in casting. They look for a touchstone character. That character has probably less trauma, is more grounded. I kind of think of like Lisa Vanderpump when I think of the touchstone character. You know, you have this female archetype, you know, matriarchal kind of person. She might be okay. She might be able to navigate it because she's got a little bit more bandwidth to do that. Then you have other people where they really are needing and looking for validation and attention, and they will Pygmalion themselves into the negative as opposed to the positive. Does any of this other feel like no, I'm probably this is, not making a whole lot of
no,
sense?
No, that makes total sense. Because I
so
do.
So can they survive it? Yeah, yeah.
I do a lot of interviews too with producers. I've interviewed Real Housewives producers and actually Jonathan Murray too. And something that I've heard recently about certain people in casting is like, they're not the right fit. And I sometimes at first I think, how are they the right fit? Because they seem to be the perfect person for what the show seems to be. And maybe that's part of the casting when they think about that is that we're not going to be able to push them into situations where they can react. This is totally going to, I'm going to be thinking about this for a long time.
Absolutely. And I mean, on the side note, I don't know that the casting people are even thinking it from that perspective.
Right.
You know, you're doing a job. They're even being Pygmalioned if you really want to think about it, if you really want to take it another step back.
Yeah.
You know, they're being asked to do a job to find a certain kind of thing, to tap into a vibration and see how that whole thing works.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all sort of this subconscious domino that comes from an original thought. But I really feel like if we lived in a perfect world, there would be more shows that talked about that part of it and that were about sort of personal growth and the parts they don't show you, which is, you know, Danny and Paul and me and Melissa having conversations about the world and the differences that we've come from and how we can connect even despite those differences. They don't really show that as much as they used to.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, I don't think anybody's like Evel Knievel sort of behind the scenes. But I absolutely, of course, they have to find a way to get people to kind of, you know, fill in the roads and the lanes that they want them to fill in. Absolutely. And I for sure drove them crazy. I mean, they told me post that they would never cast somebody like me ever again.
How funny.
So sorry to all the me's out there.
Well, that makes sense. I think you're almost too self-aware too. Yeah. I think they needed people that were a little bit more, they could mold a little
pliable.
Bit. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you because I'm sure they're going to be as obsessed with you as I now am.
Oh my gosh. You're so sweet. So they can go to my website, which is kellywolfcoaching.com. There's no E on Wolf, just kellywolfcoaching.com. And all the links to all my social media is on there, but I'm mostly probably on Instagram and I'm at Kelly Wolf, just KelleyWolf. And I'm that mom that probably embarrasses my kids to no end of like, while I'm dancing in the car, I put them on there. I mean, I think I love humor. I love just having a light heart and being a goofball and having a good time. And then also recognizing that we all have the potential to live glorious, incredible, magical lives. And it is my life mission to walk beside anybody who wants to walk beside me in finding that place.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so fun. I love talking to you and I really appreciate you taking the time.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you. And I love the work that you're doing. It is really fascinating and just a great addition to our universe. So
thank you. Well, watch The Keepers and then write that book.
Okay. I'll try to do both. I'll do them tomorrow. How about that?
Good.
Overachieving
awesome.
At its best. All right. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you again. Okay. Bye.
Now that I'm pregnant, all I think about is food. I'm not kidding you. All I think about is food. Plated offers 20 chef-designed recipes every week and delivers everything you need right to your front door, which is great because I'm lazy now and I never want to go anywhere. This week I made basmati rice with a marsala salmon, which was delicious, and this chicken that was braised with a mashed cauliflower. Why hasn't anyone ever told me the delight that is mashed cauliflower? Travel around the world from your kitchen. Plated recipes are inspired by cuisines from around the globe, like my very favorite, fish tacos. Plated sources artisanal items and high-quality ingredients, including sustainability-raised meats and organic produce when possible. And it comes in all the right portion sizes. I love spending time in the kitchen, and these are great recipes, and everything is so delicious. You've got a sweet tooth? Don't even worry about it. Plated even offers dessert options. Discover your ideal dinner experience. Go to plated.com/reality to get 25% off your first 4 weeks for a limited time only. Terms apply. See plated.com/reality for details. That's plated.com/reality. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
So Logan appears on Vanderpump Rules. This is the first season that we saw him. He's a photographer, and he's best friends with James. First of all, I want to say hi. It's so great to talk to you. And tell me a little bit more about you.
So I, as you said, I do photography, but I also do, my main thing I do is I'm an art director. So I do set design and build the sets, design it all, decorate it, find all the furniture. I mostly do music videos and commercials. I do lots of pop music videos. I do all of Bruno Mars's videos. Oh, wow. I used to do Lady Gaga stuff. That's actually, I got into that whole pump world is because I did Lady Gaga's GUI music video, which Lisa and all the other housewives were in.
Wow.
And then Lisa opened Pump a month after we shot that video. And so she invited the whole team to the opening of Pump, and that's where I started going there and meeting everyone.
And where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Sonoma, which is wine country in Northern California.
Yeah.
But I've been here I've been out in LA for 8 years. I went to college down here.
So you've been in this sort of Vanderpump Rules world, but this is the first season that we've seen you. So in the other seasons, were you kind of in the background if we looked back at old episodes?
No. So me and James have been friends we've been besties for 4 years.
Has the show been stressful at all?
Very.
Yeah.
It's been super stressful. I don't know. I'm dealing with it.
What has been the impact of fame? Because people know you within the creative industry, but now just someone who's mm-hmm. walking down the street knows who you are. What's that like?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I love it. It's funny. It's just so random having people, I was just in Vegas the other, this weekend. And so, that's where, I noticed it the most, because it's in LA, no one really cares that much.
Yeah.
But, that's where I noticed it's funny. Random bachelorette girls that were drunk running up to me.
Now, you've been best friends with James for 4 years. The the way that the narrative is on the show, they make you out to seem like you have a relationship that's romantic. Is that stressful, part of the stress to it?
I mean, obviously that's like, you know, now that all that stuff is airing and it makes it, I don't know, it makes it a whole issue within our friendship. So,
yeah, I can imagine.
It's causing, and also, the most stress was, because the show's filmed, 6 months before it starts airing. So, we knew what we had filmed, but we knew it was, coming, once it was going to air. We knew, obviously, all the stuff was going to start coming. And so that was, the most stress, the 6 months before, it would air, oh, crap, here we go. What are they going to show? How much are they going to use? How crazy are they going to make it look?
Yeah.
That's what all of our, the most of the stress is about.
Does it feel like it plays out on camera the way it played out in your life?
Yeah, but I wish they would have, before we got in our little fight, we filmed a lot more, as me and him just being friends. They filmed a photo shoot I did of him and a bunch of other stuff. And they didn't show any of that. So to me, it's just annoying that I feel they only showed the really gay stuff and didn't show us actually being friends. And it makes me look like I was just thirsty for camera time, you know, which is the complete opposite of mine and his friendship.
Yeah. Okay, well, set this record straight. You and James are friends, best friends still. You're still, I mean...
No, we're not.
Oh,
we're
you're not friends right anymore. Oh, no.
We are, but we're not talking right. I don't know. There's a lot going on.
And then...
So what happened was, when I do that phone call, I left the show for 3 weeks. I refused to film anything. It got way too intense for me and him. I was screw this. I'm not going to do the show. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm not going to ruin our friendship for a stupid reality show. And so I just left. And me and James, got in, our fight and stuff, all off, everything off camera. And then eventually we became friends again. So, towards the end of the, probably, next week. I don't know when it's going to start airing again. I come back and me and him are friends again. And we work through everything. But now that once that episode aired, he's all on his feelings about everything. So it started to get a lot of tension between the two of us recently. And, we're on a little bit of a break.
That's okay. Sometimes people need breaks, you know? That's okay.
Yeah.
And now if... Raquel called you and said, let's go out for dinner. Would you go?
I'm not opposed. I'm nice to everyone.
And will that dinner include pasta?
Yes, I love pasta. Is pasta. There's no other thing. That's the thing that people are it's so funny that people think it's something else. I don't know if you know, but people online pasta with cocaine. Me and Lolly were laughing because why people would be so it has to mean something else, because why is this person freaking out so much about pasta? That literally is James. If you knew James, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, of course he's freaking out about pasta.
They were talking about drugs, it'd probably be goat cheese balls. And not carbohydrates. Okay, well, tell me, you like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so I wanted to ask you, what do you think about Dorit?
Okay, so, she kind of annoys me. She's not my favorite housewife. I like PK because I've met PK. He's come in to Sur when me and James were hanging out there, and he was super nice, and I've met him, and I like him a lot. But as a viewer of the show, Dorit is her whole thing annoys me. She has great, she looks amazing. She's really pretty and super gorgeous, and I hate to get seen with her, but just as a character, I'm not the biggest fan.
Do you get the sense that she has a team behind her that's building her looks, or do you think she's just got a, like an innate good sense of style?
Oh, I'm sure she has like a stylist and everything. I feel like they all have stylists.
So funny.
And they have like makeup artists every night. Yeah.
Every night? You think so?
Well, I mean, like every time they're like shooting, I'm sure they have, you know, a team behind them. Like Erica just shows her team.
Yeah.
I feel like the rest of them also probably have teams, you know?
It's so crazy. All right. So what do you think about, what do you think about Camila's season? Are you eager to see more?
I'm all for Camila because I am a fan of the first two. I just rewatched the first two seasons of Housewives. And like, I miss the old seasons of them. And like Camille when she was bitchy and stuff, and Brandy, like I want like that kind of stuff. Like, and I'm all for Camille. I like the old Housewives. So I'm all for her coming back. I want Brandy to come back.
Yeah.
I want Adrienne.
On this episode, Lisa Vanderpump is mad at Dorit, and she is starting to give her a little bit of digs. And Kyle says, mm-hmm. well, you know, this is what we all have gone through. So do you think that Lisa is really friends with these women, or she considers it more like, I have to show up and deal with my castmates?
I feel like she's friends. Like, I feel like, especially with, like, Kyle. Like, I think with Dorit also, because I know that her and like, PK, like, her and PK really are, like, legit friends, because PK's always at, like, he's always at Sarah. I feel like at least with like most of them, she's pretty friends with them. And it's not just like a cast thing. Definitely with Kyle, like I feel like they're like legit friends. Like, I mean, how could you not be after like 10 years of working with someone, you know?
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I think
what are your thoughts on
like
Erica Jayne?
Like, I love Erica. I do Erica's music videos. I love Erica. Erica and Mikey, like Mikey, her creative, whatever you'd call it, like her creative director. Like, I've known Mikey for like 10 years.
Wow.
So I love her. Erica can do no wrong. She's amazing.
What, tell us one thing that we should know about how hard Erica works, because we know that she came from nothing.
She's not trying to do anything. She's not trying to be something she's not. Like, it's like she knows, like her, all her songs are like pitchy. Like, she knows what she's doing, and yeah. I'm all for it.
So tell us one.
In her music videos, like she spends, the amount of money she spends on her music videos is more than like a J-Lo music video.
Really?
Like, she puts in a lot. Oh yeah. Her expensive music video was, she put in a lot of money for that music video. And like J-Lo and them have like record labels that are putting in the money. Like, Erica's putting in her own money for this.
Wow.
So, she takes it very seriously.
Tell everybody where they can find you. Where can they see your work? Where can they look?
So my Instagram, my normal Instagram is at LoganNoh, LoGANNOH. And then like my photography is, I call it Dirty Fame. So it's I Am Dirty Fame. That's just what I call like all my photography stuff. And then, yeah, and my websites are loganoh.com. That's like where I have all my music videos and commercials I do. And then iamdirtyfame.com is all my photography.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Troy Turner runs the awesome website Taste of Reality. If you ever want to go on a trip to New York City, let's say, for example, and want to feel like a true housewife, they will map out for you all the places that you go. And in fact, you might even run into them in the process. So he is not only a reality TV expert, but can also help you find housewives. So welcome, Troy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I made you watch a show called Gold Rush. It's on the Discovery Channel. It is a show I never saw before. Had you ever seen the show before?
Yes.
You had? Oh
yes. No. Oh, no. Yes. Yes, you made me watch it. No, I had never even heard of it.
So it was originally called Gold Rush Alaska, the first season, and now it's just called Gold Rush. It's basically a series that follows the gold mining efforts of various family-run mining companies, mostly in the Klondike region of Dawson City, Yukon, Canada. I can't even tell you where that is. It's the prospecting efforts of Todd Hoffman's 316 Mining Company have ranged across both North and South America versus Parker Schnabel. And he seems to be from a family-run business as well. He's basically had a gold-paved, you know, trail for him where it's like this easy situation where he just gets the keys handed to him and he has this mining company. Whereas Todd Hoffman is, I believe, 60 and he's from the Netherlands and he's basically worked his way up. With him is his 18-year-old son, Hunter, and they are fighting with Parker on every episode because in the season premiere, they met at a Las Vegas conference center. I guess there's mining conferences. And so both crews are wagering 100 ounces of gold to the company that mines the most gold, with both vying for 5,000 ounce gold season gold. So I don't know much about the mining business, but I'm assuming that's a lot. And then there's also this other character, Tony Beats, and he kind of shows up and I don't really understand who that is. So we open the show with them on their equipment mining for gold. What were your immediate thoughts as you started to watch?
I guess I was sort of having flashbacks to being a kid and playing with these like Tonka toys in the dirt. Like that's immediately where my mind went. So it was kind of this like familiar fragment from deep in my past, you know?
I thought to myself, this has to be one of the worst jobs ever. You are in the middle of nowhere. And here are these young guys. Well, Hunter is 18. And then Todd's team, he has four young guys that work for him. And in this episode, they get into a bit of trouble because a safety inspector showed up to the mine. And while he was in the office doing paperwork, he looked out the window and saw a bunch of them fooling around. And apparently, if you violate safety procedures in the mining industry, you get heavy fines. So they basically got huge fines as the show was taping. And I thought to myself, well, of course they're screwing around because what else is there to do? They're in the middle of nowhere. There are definitely no girls in the immediate area. I can't imagine that anyone with more than six teeth lives in the immediate area. So what else are they going to do? Just screw around. None of them, with the exception of Hunter, are attractive. I just feel like there's probably a high degree of depression in this area.
They definitely, the only women who are around are actually relatives. Tony Beats, and he's actually the one from the Netherlands. His son operates on his land, his own sort of unit, but his daughter also operates on her own portion of land with three other girls. But that's it.
That's pretty bleak. That's pretty bleak. No wonder they went to the conference in Las Vegas. Maybe they could get a couple hookers and like jazz it's stuff up a little bit.
Slim pickings.
That to me is always the curse of things, is that they're slim pickings. It's how I felt in high school when I was trying to find myself a boyfriend. If you don't have a lot of options, your mind goes crazy. I feel like this show is perfect for somebody who is really into construction, because it is basically 40 minutes of just watching people on tractors.
Bulldozers.
Yeah, that's it.
Tractors, cranes. Yeah, definitely.
And then it's, you know, you have this idea of gold mining where somebody jumps into the San Francisco like creek and like uses a sifter to find some gold. This is more like enormous tractors digging into the side of a hill. And then they had this issue where they have all this equipment and they're supposed to sift through the dirt, but there was a bunch of grass in it and it caused a huge water leak. That was the big moment of the episode to blow your hair back. For me.
Oh, that's all the drama right there. It's like, it's a malfunction waiting to happen. That's all that happens.
I kept thinking the camera operators must just want to shoot themselves. This must be the worst job.
Me too.
I mean, if you're
the worst show to film,
the hierarchy of reality TV jobs, this must be this and like Dance Moms must be just the worst of the worst. So tell me a little bit more about Taste of Reality. What are you finding the people that are coming to your website? What city do they want to go to most and who do they want to track down most?
You know, it just depends on what show is airing at the moment. You know, like, so 1 month, you know, or for a couple of months, it might be right now, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of New Jersey. We're getting the tail end of that because the season just ended. We're right in the middle of Vanderpump Rules. So it kind of just depends on what show is on right now. But, you know, people are constantly searching. People can search by show, but they can also search by city. So, you know, anybody who just lives in an area where a reality TV show has filmed can also find things in their immediate area. So, but, you know, overall, our traffic is really dependent on what's airing at the moment.
So has anybody reported back to you something nuts? Like they went to Boutique and they ran into Ramona and she almost strangled them. Anything of that sort?
No, it's not not necessarily a stalking tool, but I guess you could look at it that way, because we actually track all the places that they actually, you know, the Real Housewives go, Kardashians, and people on Southern Charm. I haven't heard of any run-ins, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time.
Have you found that there are a bunch of people that are doing bridal shower-themed, housewives-themed trips?
Really funny. We actually do get, we have had a few people reach out about recommendations about where they can go for their bachelorette party, or who want to find out more about where Tamara, you know, got her cake made or what her venue was. And all of that information is on tasteofreality.com, so people can definitely find it. And anybody who is interested in any bridal recommendations, we're going to be putting out some articles in the next few weeks that, it, you know, with bridal season right around the corner, people can definitely find everywhere from where they got their cakes made to where they got their dresses made.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Or flowers, you get the idea.
So tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, so tasteofreality.com is our web address. And you can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at taste_of_reality.
Awesome. Thank you, Troy.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I want to thank my great guests this week, Kelly Wolf, Troy Turner, Logan Noe, and of course my sister Megan, who is basically America's worst nightmare if you want to have somebody give you life advice. I want to remind you, you've got to subscribe to my show and leave me a 5-star review. The more reviews I get and the more people that subscribe, the more visibility the show gets. So thank you so much for leaving the reviews that you have left. And if you haven't left a review, I beg of you, I will repay you in jazz hands. You can go to my website, loveandknuckles.com, to read my reviews of or recaps of reality television shows and plenty of other stuff that I've written about pregnancy, parenting, and living with a dysfunctional family. You can check me out on Twitter at Kate Casey. I'm tweeting during shows the entire week. Instagram at Kate Casey CA. You can see my gender reveal. We found out this week that I'm having a girl and my son is still pissed at me. And then also you can go to the Reality Life with Kate Casey Facebook page. It is a private group, so you can feel free to vent about all the reality shows that you're watching and find other detectives, if you will. Internet detectives who are finding information on people that are trying out for reality shows or on reality shows or who have been on reality shows. So again, have a great week.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.